So let me tell you about Jesus now that I've sung about him a little bit. We read a few verses of scripture a couple of weeks ago, and it talked about forgetting the past, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that, believe it or not, is the secret to success. Regardless of what has happened in your life, regardless of the ups and downs, the mistakes that you've made, the problems that you've faced, the people that you may have hurt, the people that you may have let down, and that person, one of those persons might have even been God himself. You can put those things behind you. According to the scriptures, we can turn everything over to Jesus Christ, put it behind us, and then start afresh. That is a wonderful gift that he's given to us. Every day that you live is an opportunity for you to put behind you everything in your past and to begin to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, I told you I was going to give you my testimony. So don't go to sleep on the first part, okay? Because it's not one where I went to New York City and got into drugs and got into gangs and was beaten up and recovered, lost a limb, whatever, and then I started a ministry. That's not my story, okay? Here's my story. Born in 1952. That was a spectacular event from my mom's standpoint. Maybe not anybody else's. I was saved at the age of 11. Came to know Jesus Christ under the ministry of Brother R.E. Johnson, sitting right here today. At age 11, 1963. One of the best experiences from a spiritual standpoint while I was growing up is I had an opportunity to go to the North Carolina Bible school that they had, the Church of God sponsored out of Charlotte. Went there 3 years and enjoyed that experience, learned a lot about the Word, and was just able to study with a lot of people that loved the Lord. That was a great experience as a youth. Went there from the ages of 14 to 16. I graduated from South Johnson High School in 1970, and I did pretty well in school. I was in the top 10 when I graduated. Now, some of this might sound like I'm patting myself on the back, but just hang with me for a second, okay? Went to NC State University, got some scholarship money, went there for a year in 1970. But then the scholarship money ran out, and I quit school. And I was working there at NC State University in the business office, and I met Judy. And in 1972, we were married. Well, we had 3 or 4 years there of marital bliss, maybe 4 out of the first 5, something like that, where it was marital bliss. But along the way, Jonathan was born, 1976, our first child. That was a great experience for us. In 1977, the New Life Pentecostal Church was started. And let me just interject this. You see, I've been the pastor now for quite a few years. But when this church was started, and we were meeting in that old building that was just in the parking lot there, it's been torn down now, I was not the pastor. When God got this started, it was not me the pastor. And I sort of became the pastor by a set of circumstances that I won't go into detail about. But remember the word circumstances, okay? Graduated from NC State University, got a BS in economics in 1977. In 1978, I went to work for RTI. I've been there for 26 years. In 1979, I got a master's degree in applied mathematics. In 1979, something even better happened. Michael and Elizabeth were born. Then we had a period of what I've called quiet family and church experiences. Nothing really out of the ordinary, just wonderful family experiences, church experiences, a period of time when you just go through life and it's just simple, but it's good. You're enjoying your children, you're enjoying your church, Everything's really good. And then in 1998, I believe it was 1998, somebody might correct me if I'm wrong, we built this building. The church that we're in right now. We moved out of that old house that we had converted into this building. God blessed us. And in year 2000, that's when Jonathan passed away. Lost Jonathan. But in 2004, Elizabeth got married. Married Alex Salem. 2005, I got a grandchild by the name of Salma. Christmas of 2005, the one that you just experienced, has been the best Christmas I can remember. God has just blessed and blessed and blessed. And it sounds like as you go over this list of events and things that occurred, I've only had one negative so far, doesn't it? Losing my first son. Okay? We'll just hang on there. RTI experiences. As I said, I've worked there for 26 years. I started work in 1978. In 1985, I left RTI for about 9 months, worked with ITT, and then went back to RTI. So, you know, just about 9 months out of the past 27 years have I been at RTI. I developed data management control systems. That's really what I did. I'm a programmer, okay? Some of you may or may not know that. I was made an assistant director fairly early in my career. I became a principal scientist, which is really a nice position, particularly for someone who doesn't hold a PhD. That's probably about as high as you can go at RTI without having a PhD. Principal scientist is what I am right now. In later years, I began to develop web-based information systems. That's what pays all the bills, you know. Obviously, I don't get a lot of money from the church, and I'm not complaining. The church is good to me. But what has paid the bills has been the job that I have at RTI, okay? I became project director about 2 years ago in 2004 of two projects in my division, and they were very high-profile projects, and God was blessing. I was a proposal leader this past year for a project that we won, $5 million project, and that, again, was very big news and a very big deal at the company. And I received bonuses at the end of the year for the last 2 years, and that's something that RTI just doesn't do because they're a not-for-profit company. But then, God decided to clean my plate. Okay? What does that mean? Well, let me tell you a little bit about what's happened in just the last few weeks. And I'm in the midst of what might seem a trial or a test. Or I'm in the midst of what might be looking at a mountain in my future. But I don't see it as such. How has God cleaned my plate? Well, first of all, the administrator at RTI came to me and asked me to give up one of the project directorship positions that I had to free me up for more proposal work, you know, so that I could be named for other projects that would come on, and also to give another person experience. That's one project out of the way, okay? There was a hiring crisis as project director on the other project that I was involved in. We were supposed to hire some people from an old contract, transition them into place during the month of December, and have them ready to start work. But it turns out that these people, some of them, didn't accept the offers that we made. So the hiring crisis was this. Come transition time, these people weren't not in place. So the client became very upset. I didn't realize how upset. They actually, in the past 2 weeks, asked for me to be removed as project director. Okay? And they've made a case against me, which is unfounded in evidence and in reality. But it's a stab in the back type operation. Okay. Well, obviously, I'm disappointed. But as I said, I don't see this as a mountain. I see it as an opportunity for me to have time to do what God wants me to do. You see, He gave me everything that's good that I've described up to this point. He gave it to me. So when I say God is cleaning my plate, He's now decided it's time for me to do and focus on some other things. Okay, well, I have asked for extended leave at RTI. Hopefully it'll be as long as 8 months. And you say, well, what are you going to do during those 8 months? I'm not going to be thinking about RTI. Okay? I'm going to be thinking about those things that are important. You see, the church, young people, music, that's important. Music ministry. Listening to God. You know, when you're real busy on high-profile projects, and any of you that are in stressful positions at work, you know that it takes your concentration, it takes your time. So you don't have as much time to listen to God. And I want to see if there's some business opportunities to get involved in with God's people, okay? RTI is not God's people. As a matter of fact, about 2 years ago, maybe longer, 2 or 3 years ago, they changed their policy on discrimination to include sexual orientation. Okay? So that is in keeping with the secular movement in the world today. But you see, that's like saying, hey, God. You see, that's what that is. It's a slap in God's face. So here I am today facing still what is a crisis. I've got to meet with management, etc., in the next few days and try to work out transition plan. And probably there will be questions right on up the line about what happened. And then there's the client's word against my word. You see, all of these negative, stressful things. But I can tell you that I have no fear about it. I have no worry about it, because I see even this event, though it looks like a negative event, as being God working in my life to do what He wants to do and not what I want to do. You see, the easy thing for me is to ride the wave of success. You see, but God's ways and God's will may not always be ours. So I'm telling you all this because God is in the midst of doing something very special in my life. And if it works out, and I'm sure it will, I don't know exactly how. I've named some things that I want to do. But again, I have got to give God space to say, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. Yeah, it's okay for us to think and plan and come up with options, but we must always say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because the ultimate goal in our lives must be to please Him. He said, turn your attention to me, seek my kingdom first. He said, I'll add all these things to you. You won't even have to worry about them. So, the future from a career planning standpoint is a little shaky. The future from God's will standpoint looks bright. So I'm telling you all this to one thing, inform you, but also to encourage you to pray for me and to pray for our church that God can take this time that's going to be available to me and use it effectively for His kingdom. Okay? That's the objective here. Now, let's turn the attention away from me. And let's turn it to you. What's God doing in your life? Have you faced a situation where it looked like your world was crumbling? Things were coming against you? You didn't know a way out? Well, maybe that was God trying to tell you it's time for you to do something else. It's time for you to give more attention to me. It's time for you to pray more. Read my word more. We must be attentive to God. How does God speak to us? I guess that's a question that we might raise. Now, I stay pretty busy. Okay? I'm constantly involved in something. Most of it is at least mental activity, if not physical. So sometimes when you're really busy, it's hard for God to get your attention, isn't it? And maybe you're a busy person too. Maybe you've got a whole list of things that you're planning to do and you really haven't asked God where He fits into the picture. If you have, then you might be in a situation sort of like Balaam. You remember him? Balaam was a prophet of God that was with the children of Israel as they were coming up out of Egypt into the promised land. But he was a prophet of God that sort of like to blow with the winds that were popular, you might say. And he was approached by the king of one of the enemy nations. And this king wanted Balaam to prophesy against Israel. He wanted him to say something negative against Israel because he knew that God, this man knew that God's will was being done in Israel's life. And as a country, as a people, God was blessing them. Well, Balaam didn't say, no, I won't do it. Never. Don't even bother me again. He sort of hedged on it a little bit and kind of kept listening to the offers. And yeah, the story goes back and forth along those lines. But eventually, Balaam, against the will of God, has decided to go and have another communication, have another encounter, after God had told him to not do it. And he's on his little donkey and he's heading toward Barak, I believe was his name. He was heading toward that king and was going to have a more conversation with him. And the angel of God stopped him. But Balaam didn't see it. He didn't see the angel. So the donkey sees the angel of God standing there, and he stops dead in his tracks. And Balaam goes to beating the donkey, trying to get him to go on down the path. And finally the donkey turns to him and speaks to him. Tells him that, you know, there's an angel standing here with his sword drawn, and if I'd have taken one more step, we were both going to die. So this story illustrates how God sometimes has to use extreme events in our lives to change our directions. That's not a good thing. You know, Balaam was not in a good place with God for God to have to send the angel with his sword drawn, for God to have to speak through a donkey to stop him in his tracks. Let me encourage you this morning. Regardless of whether you're in a valley or on the mountaintop or climbing the hill or going down the backside, regardless of what the prospects are, regardless of what the history of your experience has been to this point in time, I'm telling you this, God has a plan for you. Don't think that he's excluded you somehow and that he's just dealing with Billy Graham and Kenneth Copeland and Oral Roberts and Pat Robertson and maybe Randy Lucas. He is doing something and he has a plan for your life. The only thing that can keep that plan from being accomplished is your willingness to listen and to obey. I am not what you would define as a prosperity preacher. That's not my theme. I don't beat that horse. Okay? I believe that prosperity is something that God wants you to experience. But I believe that there is a whole realm of issues that you need to deal with before you can approach and reach the prosperity that God wants you to experience. See, God is just not going to bless you independently of how you act and behave toward Him. He loves you. He's not going to spoil you like some doting parent would their child. He's going to give to you as you are faithful to Him. Remember the message last Sunday? If you're faithful in the little things, in the few things, I will make you ruler over many. That's the way God works. He gives you a little, and then he sees what you do with it. And if you're faithful, he blesses you with more. So, let me encourage you this morning to turn your attention back to God. If it's straight away, if he is not the number one person in your life, you need to turn yourself back to him. Because he may send the angel with a sword drawn. He may create a situation in your life that you would hate to see happen. You say, would God do that? He loves you. And he will do whatever it takes to bring you to himself. It's much easier if you just from within your heart this morning say, Lord, before the problem arises, before the crisis comes, help me to stay humble and help me to stay attentive, so that I will know your voice when you speak to me. How does God communicate to people? He communicates through his word. Now that's one thing. You need to know God's word. If you don't know God's word, chances are you're not going to know when God speaks to you through the other means. Okay? You got to know God's word. Study it to show thyself approved unto God. God also speaks through his spirit. But his spirit is always bearing witness to the word, you see. The spirit is always reinforcing what the word, the Bible, says. He speaks to us through others, other people.
But you see, we won't know whether that person is talking as an emissary of God or whether they're talking to you like Oprah, if we don't know the word. You see, if another person speaks the word to you, it will bear witness with the spirit that's within you, and it will edify you. But if you don't know the word, you won't know whether that individual is quoting scripture, coming from God, or whether they're just coming from some secular point of view. And then lastly, God speaks to us through circumstances. Circumstances. Don't ever think that circumstances are accidental, that it just happened that way, or it was just my luck. If you believe that, then you're hopeless, because you're completely at the whim of luck, whoever that is. You are the handiwork of God. Remember what we said. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. You are His handiwork. You are His child if you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So, pay attention to circumstances. He will use circumstances to direct your path. Just because they look negative doesn't mean that they're negative. They look negative only through the eyes of someone without faith. To someone who has faith, they represent a sign saying it's time to change directions and go another way. Okay, in closing, I want you to pray for our church. Not that our church will be as big as, 16,000 member church. Osteen. We're not interested in numbers for sheer numbers, but it is a crying shame that a church this small, physically this small, is not filled. As many people as moved into the Benson area, what are these people doing on Sunday mornings? You ever wonder? Now, let me tell you something from a social standpoint. If they're not in church, chances are that eventually, I'm not saying today or tomorrow, eventually they'll be stealing from your car and your house. Okay? You can either put people on a path toward obedience to God, or you can leave them on a path away from God, which will eventually turn them into not solid, trustworthy, respectable citizens. There's no middle ground there. God did not say you can serve God or mammon and something else. He said you can either serve me, choose this day whom you will serve. You're going to serve me or you're going to serve Satan. And say the path that person's on that's moved into Benson, it may not be right there directly on in Satan's hand and under Satan's leash. But eventually, if they are not brought under the authority of God, they will fall under the authority of Satan. I do not have the ability to stay neutral, neither does any other man, woman, boy, or girl on the face of this earth. We must make a choice. So when I say this church needs to be filled, it needs to be filled with people who are not in the Baptist church or the Methodist church or the Pentecostal. We don't need to go get their people. We need to find people who don't go to church and let them know that Jesus Christ still saves. Let them know that Jesus Christ has a plan for their lives. Let them know that there is joy both in our daily walk and there is joy to come in His kingdom that is not too far off. Let's close. I want you to pray with me right now that the Lord speak to your heart and do a work in your life. Father, we ask that you take these words that have been shared this morning and that you begin to do a work in the lives of each individual here today. Father, there's a miracle that can take place regardless of what the circumstances are in each individual life. You can from this day forward begin to do something so special that people will be amazed that know the members of this church. They will be amazed to see what you're doing in their lives. I pray, Father, that your divine will be unfolded in the hearts and lives of your people today. And that they walk through this world without fear and with trust and confidence that you are Lord and you are King and you are Savior. Father, reveal to us today your power. Reveal to us today your hand upon our lives and cause us to trust you as we never have before. To listen to you and to read your word and to pray and talk to you and to study to show ourselves approved unto you. Help us, Lord, to give all that we have received from you back to you unreservedly. Bless and touch and save to the uttermost, Lord. And Father, those things that are already in the palm of your hand, I know none of them will be lost. Touch us, Lord, those of us who are already in the palm of your hand. Heal us, Lord, and strengthen us and empower us in service to you. And those who, Father, are outside of your will right now, who've decided to step outside of the palm of your hand, I pray, Lord, that you help them to just jump right back up there and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my rebelliousness. Forgive me for the waste. And take me back. And Lord, I know that you will receive them with open arms. Father, bless your people here today. Empower us and use us for the glory of Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his lovely name. Amen.